Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Brad Sellers, Pearl Washington, Sean Keen, Buck Johnson, Kevin Duckworth, Joey Devine, Kenny Gaddison, Baskerville Holmes, Patreons, Bo Dueling, thank you Bo, Lee Fischetti, thank you Lee, Elliot Runberg, thank you Elliot, musical guest, The Dead Weather, and now the temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, a stand-up comedian who is on the road in Sacramento as we speak, Mr. Sean Keen at gmail.com. I probably shouldn't say your email publicly.
Fine.
Huh?
It's just public already. What are they going to do? Hey, Joey. I'm in Sacramento. It's really hot here. It's like 108, I think.
Wow, that's too hot. It's hot here, too. Sean.
Yeah.
California is going through a drought again. My question for you.
Yes.
Are you personally volunteering to use 15% less water like Governor Gavin Newsom asked every Californian?
That's going to do it. That's the main thing, as we all know, when it comes to global warming, energy consumption, or water, individuals are driving force and not corporations, conglomerates. And in the specific case of water, Oakland A's president, Billy Bean, the biggest water scofflaw user in the state of California a couple of years ago. That's impressive.
He hates both stolen bases and the water supply.
He's like, I don't trust the eye test with these reservoirs. I think Los Angeles is actually going to be okay for the drought this year because they have banked a lot of water. But the rest of the state,
banked a lot of stolen water, right? I've seen Chinatown.
Corrupt. They did not use their corrupt allocation of water that they're taking from those guys who tried to shoot Jack Nicholson when he came to their farm. Gavin Newsom, if you don't reduce your water usage by 15%, he's going to slice your nostril like Roman Polanski.
I would not be surprised if Gavin Newsom had some kind of incest scandal. Anyway,
yeah, I mean, it's. I wonder what it's like. Are you allowed to get water at Plump Jack anymore?
Yeah.
Also, you can tell there's a water shortage because of Gavin Newsom's voice. That somehow, in the past 2 years of being governor, he's basically turned into Christian Bale in The Dark Knight. He's like, oh, we got to reduce our water consumption by 15%. Please don't recall me, Commissioner.
Where's Rachel?
Where's Rachel? Yeah, he's like, oh, you're looking for another man's girlfriend? That is also on brand for Gavin Newsom.
Some business up top at roundrockpod@gmail.com, at roundrockpod on Twitter. Call us on the phone at the number in the description of the episode. 5-star reviews only on iTunes. Patreon.com/roundrockpod, where Steve Ballmer answered some news that came up about him. We're probably going to talk about it later. But on the Patreon, Steve Ballmer, in his advice show, answered some news about his tax evasion.
Yeah, with his good friend Kawhi Leonard, uh-huh, I believe.
Yep. He also got calls from Jeff Bezos on his space phone. And
wow, can we hear some of that?
Let me see if I can pull it up.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I mean, we can hear some of it. I just have to drag it into the old sound drop.
Gotcha.
Pick from the middle. Chuck got me a cake, you silly goose. And I just stood there and I rubbed two of my best friend's thighs over and over and over again. Just really hard, really massaged and slapped my best friend's thighs, because that is how the 9th richest man in the world celebrates everything, with some grand old thigh rubbing. All right, that was Steve Ballmer on the Round Ball Rock
wow.
Patreon this week, talking about how he was the 9th man ever to be to make $100 billion. So, fuck Steve Ballmer, because no billionaires are good billionaires. Also, Sean, we forgot to plug this the last 2 episodes, which is bad.
Oh yes, it's important.
But
we've only got a month to prepare.
We're having an informal listener meetup at Summer League this year, barring the Delta variant going insane. But on August 10th, I believe, right? It's the 10th?
August 10th, Tuesday, August 10th.
At 10:30 p.m.
At the Golden Nugget.
Tillman Fertitta's own Golden Nugget. Where in the Golden Nugget, Sean?
Oh, it's going to be, I believe, the only slot machine in a casino that features the owner of that casino. Mm-hmm. It's the Tillman Fertitta Billionaire Buyer slot machine. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves the Billionaire Buyer because Tillman is such a good businessman himself that never has to beg for hundreds of millions of dollars in short-term loans or government handouts. And is maybe America's greatest wharf-related billionaire.
Mm-hmm. He's not a billionaire, let's be honest.
Well, I mean, according to the IRS, no, he's not.
He's a theoretical billionaire. Anyway, he's still a bad guy.
Look, I mean, you can't tell. Oh, that's going through. Yeah. He's a real bastard. That slot machine will step on your throat and then cut your throat.
Except it's not, because we're taking that PPE loan back from him one slot pull at a time. At the Golden Nugget Casino, August 10th at 10:30 p.m. Come hang out, and then we'll probably go play craps or something. Who knows? T-shirts, Sean. There's a there's a store, our T Public store. That's also at our link in the description. And guess what, Sean? T Public right now is doing no T-shirt July. So everything that's not a T-shirt in our T-shirt store is on sale for 30% off or something like that. There's also a code, RoundRockPod.
So it's not that I can't wear a T-shirt for the whole month of July for awareness of something.
No, but your dad would love that.
He does being shirtless.
Yeah, Sean's dad. And
mowing the lawn.
I think every time I've gone to Sean's parents' house, his dad has been shirtless mowing the lawn.
Yeah, and doing some kind of yard work. Oh my God, somebody stole his green bin this week.
Oh no.
He had to get a replacement. I don't know what happened. They just didn't pick it up for some reason on that part of the street. So as some of you know, my father is locked into a undeclared trash can race with his neighbor across the street. Mm-hmm. They both compete to see who gets their cans out the earliest. Neither one of them has ever actually acknowledged this, but at this point the cans go out at about 9 a.m. the day before the trash pickup. So they're out Wednesday morning, even though the trash doesn't come till Thursday. And this week, both green bins were not picked up on the regular time. I don't know if it was the 4th of July weekend, but they had their green bins out, and neither one would bring the green bin back. I don't think it was like a standoff. I think they were just worried that they'd called for the replacement. And then one day, my father's green bin was gone, and they had to replace it. So someone may have stolen some of the branches that my father is slowly parceling out every week. He had some trees trimmed, and instead of getting an extra pickup, he has decided to saw the branches into small pieces so he can sneak three or four of them into the can every week. And they will be gone in about 8 months.
Oh, great.
So it's just a smart move. I'm also with a bulldog right now.
Oh, is it Rocco? Are you hanging out on Clay Thompson's houseboat?
I wish I was on Clay Thompson's houseboat. Oh, my God. That would be life-changing. Look, it's going to change James Wiseman's life that he was on that houseboat.
I think that's all our business, right?
I think so, too.
All right, let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, it's the NBA Finals, so you know we've got some big NBA Finals news. Sean, what's our top story?
I'm glad you asked, Joey. It's that Zion Williamson is getting driven out of town by the New Orleans Historic District Landmarks Commission.
Oh, man, I cannot wait for all of the Brian Windhorst podcast. My favorite podcast about Red Robin, the restaurant, by the way, who in between talking about bacon and milkshakes, sometimes we'll talk about how they lasciviously want a star to get out of a small market.
I mean, I'm so into Red Robin that I started multiple Facebook groups to talk about it. Something else that Brian Windhorst talks a lot about on that show. So here's the story. Technically, I believe this is Zion's mom's house. I'm saying that Zion bought it for her. Again, she might have her own money, but I think, you know, given that Zion is a wealthy young man, I believe he bought his mom a mansion in the Garden District of New Orleans. That house was built between 1860 and 1868, and she wanted to add a third floor for a workout room and a theater. When I read this at first, I thought they wanted to add like a theater,
like a movie,
which would have been like a weird decision. I was thinking more like, well, when I read it, I was like, oh, like for theater. I thought like
the Globe. They wanted
off Bourbon Street. That's what I thought was going
to
happen.
They wanted to put a theater in the round in their house. You thought,
Yeah,
like just maybe like you could perform at Zion Williams's house in a black box theater.
Yeah, exactly.
When you went to New Orleans.
Round Ball listeners, check it out.
No, when I read this, I knew what they were talking about. I knew they meant like a crib style movie theater, you know, with like some big comfy Some big comfy chairs and a popcorn machine no one has ever turned on. Can we talk about the movie theaters on MTV's Cribs real quick? All of them have the same shitty popcorn machine that is empty and has clearly never been turned on.
I mean, it just seems like the scale for that is so punishing. Like you want to, how many people would you have to have over to make turning on that popcorn machine worth it?
15,
like a
right?
dozen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure that cleaning it is an absolute nightmare. Yeah.
Anyway,
someone's gonna walk in. They're like, "Oh, he's actually rich. He's got that popcorn machine. He must be a very successful rapper." So they tried to, apparently in the application, they tried to like hint that, "Hey, this is Zion." NOLA.com says, but in a thinly veiled reference to the Pelican star, Williams and the owner hoped the theater could be used for her son to, quote, screen professionally what he does.
Well, I watch game film. I got it. Smart.
Yeah. In a home theater, that's where you watch game film.
I mean, maybe, I'm sure he would. You know, if you had a screen that big, you watch Hard Knocks or whatever. They basically are watching game film in a theater. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that that's nicer than the Pelicans' real film room.
Yeah, it absolutely is. This not nicer than the Saints, though, because that's where that that lady who hates workers puts all her
Gail
money.
Benson.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure she charges for the popcorn from her popcorn machine.
Anyway, we want to dunk on New Orleans, not Zion and his family for wanting a nice home theater because they're rich.
The Landmarks Commission did not want them to replace the Civil War era roof.
I mean... Look, I know a story about an old New Orleans house we'll get to in a minute, but Sean, you thought it was a theater, like for actors, were you like, oh man, is Daryl Morey gonna trade for Zion Williams?
That's what I was thinking. I was absolutely like, this could be it. Like, this is his signal.
Finally, the Rodgers to his Hammerstein.
Yeah, right. that he's like, the first thing I want to have there is Small Ball the Musical. that's the main thing I want there.
Anyway, if I were New Orleans, and there's already been multiple stories about how Zion's family wants him out of New Orleans, pretty sure I would have made it so they could build this theater.
Yeah, I think the Bensons are actually falling down by not just making a call. Mm-hmm. Like this application needed to be more blatant about it. Sure. Like, you got 2 years. You know, he's eligible for an extension at the end of next summer. We need to remodel this house by then.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a good way to put it. But I'm sure, I also kind of think New Orleans, I mean, not that New Orleans doesn't support that team, but they kind of support architecture more.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of old houses in New Orleans, can I tell you a story I once heard about Nicolas Cage?
Yes, please.
So Nicolas Cage bought a really old house in New Orleans because we can talk a lot about Nick Cage's other things that he owns in New Orleans. But here's a story I heard about his house.
Okay.
He bought a really old house. Mm-hmm. And every day, like on the hour, a tour group was coming by. And he assumed it was like a Hollywood Stars tour group.
Oh.
Until... And he got mad about it, and they were like, no, we didn't even know this was your house. And he was like, then why are they coming by? Until he took the tour, and it turned out it was like a haunted New Orleans tour, and it turned out the house he bought was like the most evil house in New Orleans. It was like, there were like... A really racist doctor did horrible experiments on slaves in the basement. And he made them stop the tour and sold the house.
He was like, what? No one told me about this.
That it's like a racist ghost house?
Yes, it's a racist ghost house. It's like a house that, like, I think there's an American Horror Story based on the house Nicolas Cage bought. And he did not know when he bought it.
So is that the same one that Anne Rice used to own, or did he buy a different?
I think it's a different New Orleans mansion.
Okay, because Nicolas Cage did own a house a block away from Zion's house,
mm-hmm.
but that one used to belong to Anne Rice, and that's mm-hmm. one that it used to be. Let's see, it's from. This is very funny. It used to be owned by a coffee importer whose big claim to fame is that he invented burlap sacks.
Mm-hmm.
That's very weird.
Very
what a weird thing to invent.
You know who Zion has, like, oh, go ahead.
Anyway, it used to be a chapel and a reform girls' school. So there's like all these pavilions and chandeliers and giant Virgin Mary statues. And Nicolas Cage, of course, put a bar in it. And bought a pool table that used to belong to Dean Martin.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's like a block away from Zion's house.
You know what else is a block away from Zion's house?
What's that?
John Goodman's house. I looked it up.
Yes.
Who owned John Goodman's house before John Goodman?
Who owned it before John Goodman?
Trent Reznor.
Yep. Good buddies. That's so weird, Joey. Why?
But Sean, do you want to talk about the other thing Nick Cage owns in New Orleans?
Yeah, and I've been there. He owns a 9-foot tomb
mm-hmm.
with
yep.
a Latin motto from National Treasure on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And that motto, hold on, I can read it to you because I have a picture
of myself.
It's just
E pluribus unum, right?
It's weirder than that, but anyway, it's Omnio. This is not worth it at all for me to look this up.
Okay, then don't.
Anyway.
But Sean, do you have any quotes about Nicolas Cage buying real estate you want to share?
Well, I'm glad you do. And at the top of his fame, he bought a lot of stuff. He bought two castles. He had owned a deserted island in the Bahamas. He owned the very first Superman action comic, which cost $150,000. He also bought a 70-million-year-old dinosaur skull. He had to return that to the Mongolian government because
He wouldn't have had to return that if he knew Jody Allen.
That's true.
He was the owner of the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah. So, he claims that he bought all this property, which led him to having it all basically sold and seized by the IRS because he was reading about mythology.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's like building a library. You read a book, and in it, there's a reference to another book. And then you buy that book, and then you attach the references. For me, it was all about, where was the Grail? Was it here? Was it there? What is the Grail but Earth itself? Anyway,
that's
an
all-time Nick Cage quote.
Yeah,
The all-time Nick Cage quote is, of course, about why he named his son Kal-El. Do you remember that quote,
Sean? That's right. I believe he said that the reason he named his son Kal-El was that Superman's name, and that he was good.
An American.
yeah, he's good and American, like Superman.
Mm-hmm.
That is a weird name. Yeah. Oh, good, unique, and American. And
yeah,
that's
yeah.
all.
Uh-huh. Just like Kal-El.
So congratulations, Kal-El Coppola Cage.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of New Orleans, Sean, did Stan Van Gundy have anything to say in the last couple of days?
Yeah, he actually had a response to this story, I believe, which was, have you ever driven to your destination, pulled out your phone, checked your text, and thought, damn, if only I had read this text and replied while I was driving. So many people out there willing to risk their lives and the lives of others to read or send texts. Here's what I got to say, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
Stan posts a lot of stuff on Twitter.
Yeah.
This one's pretty good. This is like a lot more. I feel like it's the most useful thing he's really posted.
See, I mean, the most useful thing he ever posted was that fake MAGA sign someone posted on his lawn or whatever. That then
he did he write it himself?
Yeah,
and Clay Travis.
Out he wrote it himself. Yeah,
I don't know if that was. It's like Reddit fingerprint a handwriting analysis.
But what I will say is, here's the thing. Do you remember what we learned about Jeff Van Gundy when he's driving?
Yeah, he does not listen to the radio, even if he's going like 17
hours.
He
drove 9 hours without listening to anything. Mm-hmm. So one thing we've learned about the Van Gundys here is they hate being distracted while they're driving.
Yeah, that's the main thing. And maybe that came up. Maybe this was also in a lecture every day for them. And it's like that one more thing. If you're driving, just don't respond to your text messages. Build a fucking wall around that phone. Okay.
Speaking of fired coaches, Sean, do you have another story about some fired coaches?
Yeah, I do. This is a fired and then newly employed the Eastern Conference Playoff Coach of the Year, the Eastern Conference Playoff Coach of the Year, Nate McMillan. There's a quote from Hawks beat writer Chris Kirchner, who reported that Nate McMillan said he grew tired of watching Jeopardy and Family Feud on his coach after being let go from Indiana.
Whoa!
That's when he wanted to get back into coaching.
But here's the thing we know is our favorite fired coach ever, Jim Boylan, celebrated his first win by watching Family Feud.
Mm-hmm. He and his family ate dry cereal and watched Family Feud on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of feel like Nate's maybe dissing Jimmy B a little bit there.
I mean, he is the anti
Jimmy. He is kind of the anti Boylan. like in that he's a good coach.
Right.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, he's a good coach who wins no matter where he goes.
He doesn't like hand guys pay stubs after they run sprints, you know, whatever Boylan was doing.
If Jim Boylan got a job again, would you put it past him to create like a whole system of like mining currency that he
not
paid
at all,
his players?
Except that would actually lead to an outcome.
Yeah,
he would have like Jimmy Bucks on the blockchain, and they're like redeemable for like handfuls of checks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sean.
Yes.
Speaking of bad coaches, can I play you a clip of Coach Bud in the NBA Finals?
Because we heard a very inspiring clip that went viral. We don't have to play it, about Monty Williams pumping up DeAndre Ayton.
Well, I mean, what I will say is we're talking about the playoffs, so I have to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Aww, get me so pumped.
I'm already, like, I'm much more pumped than this Coach Bud clip is going to make me.
This is the opposite. Here is Coach Bud in game 2 of the NBA Finals trying to pump up the Bucks.
Brought to you by Head & Shoulders, some wired sound to start us off.
Play fast, play random, play together, play in great space. Let's go play some basketball, have some fun.
Tony! Can I play that one more
play
time?
Play fast, play random, play together, play in great space. Let's go play some basketball, have some fun.
Tony! Have you ever heard a coach say play random?
No. It sounded like he was like a TikToker. Like, oh, our game's so random. We're hard to defend. That's what we're like. We're just random. You never know if Chris Middleton's going to be really good or really bad. It's just so random.
It's so random. Like, I'm Chris Middleton, and I am so random, I'm just going to throw up, like, mid-rangers with 3 people on me, and either they go in or not.
But I'm random. I'm just random like that, especially on the road. We're just super random.
I guess we should talk about the finals a little bit right here while we're doing it.
Yeah, I guess we might as well get into that here, yeah.
Sean, are the Bucks going to lose in 4 games?
No. They're going to win a game. I mean, they are getting beat by double digits, but I do actually think that Chris Middleton is unusually good at home and or unusually bad on the road.
Well, I don't really think that's unusual for role players, which is what Chris Middleton really is.
I mean, he's like a role player that also goes for 40 in playoff games.
Sure, but like so does like Tim Hardaway Jr. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, watching the Bucks so much, maybe the problem is Chris Middleton is not a second star.
I mean, it. Although I have noticed there have been a bunch of Bucks games this year where you look before halftime and people are just killing Middleton mm-hmm. and like he sucks. And then somehow in like 6 minutes, he outscores the other team.
Sure.
Or goes on a personal 13-0 run or something like that. So, I mean, he's almost like the poor man's Paul George. Is that a bad example?
I mean, maybe. I kind of think he really,
I mean, I don't know. Basically, this team, I'll say for Middleton, like they really need him to score points. They don't have the option of having him. They don't have like a guy on the bench who's going to go and get buckets. So they're kind of missing, you know, maybe a Bogdanovich type, but even like a Jordan Clarkson type, where or a Reggie Jackson, you know, somebody who can be just more consistently supportive, because there just aren't any other alternatives.
Right.
I think he would be less annoying, but he's like absolutely the number two scorer, and that's not great. Like he's very well rounded and everything, but just in terms of getting points or breaking down defenses or creating, he's much better when he is receiving passes, you know?
Yeah, no, it's true. Anyway, the Suns look amazing. I'm sort of expecting a really bad Chris Paul game in game three, and then the Suns to win two games after that.
Yeah, I could see that. I think
I just at no point in this series so far have I ever believed the Bucks were actually coming back when they've quote-unquote come back.
No, because they always the comebacks always start when they're like a little bit too far behind. You know what I mean? They go on an 8-0 run, but they were down 14 when it started. You know,
Giannis has been amazing though. Giannis has been like fucking Shaq.
What do you have? Like 42.
He deserves 12? Better, man. I love Giannis.
His knee does not work all the way right now either. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you these. I'm going to give you the plus minus numbers from Marcus Thompson, the author of Golden. What's it called? The Rise of Steph Curry. What is that? What is that?
It's called Golden. Yeah.
Golden. Yes. Okay. So Giannis is plus +4. Chris Middleton. Actually, I'm going to go from the bottom. Giannis is plus +4. Jeff Teague, minus -2. Bryn Forbes, minus -8. Pat Connaughton, minus -12. Boy, it feels like it's more negative than that. Bobby Portis, minus -15. Brooke Lopez, minus -18. Drew Holiday, minus -19. PJ Tucker, minus -19. Chris Middleton, minus -26.
Yep.
Basically can't take Giannis out of the game. Or it's all going to fall apart.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
but the Suns are good. Like that. Not to
the Suns are really good.
We're dwelling on making fun of the Bucks, but
I mean, here's the thing. Look, we have been particularly mean in our lives to both Chris Paul and Devin Booker.
That is correct.
And we were incorrect, apparently.
I mean, it is a good lesson about maybe judging people who, well, it's funny because I'm like, well, they were playing for terrible franchises, but most of the same people are in charge. Like, I mean, I guess getting that Ryan McDonough guy out was probably pretty mm-hmm. huge. And Monty's a good coach.
Remember when they put goats in his office?
That's right. That's so weird.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure was.
Yeah. They seemed to, but anyway, I think when a team is terrible and they don't like being there, maybe it's a tough time to judge someone's defensive ability and effort, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Anyway, he's playing great. They're all playing great. Mikal Bridges is playing great.
And the Warden, which we learned on our Patreon.
Yeah. Did you... okay, do you think... So the Suns are now basically down to a seven-man rotation because Dario Saric is out and now Torrey Craig is out. Is that going to matter, Joey?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, I don't think
love Dario, actually, but I just... don't.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks that he tore his ACL. Get better, mm-hmm. Dario.
For sure.
Super Dario.
Mm-hmm.
As we learned as well. Should we go over those? Oh, no, we're doing that separately. Never mind.
Yep. That's we're going to do the Bucks.
Nicknames.
The Bucks nicknames.
Yeah.
I mean, on our Patreon tomorrow, we're gonna go through every Bucks nickname.
Well, we'll peek behind the scenes, everybody. Pretty exciting, huh?
Yeah.
For you, the listener, seeing how the magic happens.
Sean, we talked about him already earlier. Do you have any stories you want to talk about Brian Windhorst today?
Yeah, he's apparently he got aggregated. He got aggregated. It's his deepest fear. It happened. So He tweeted.
He's like Sheriff Brody in Jaws, where he hates the ocean, and yet he's a sheriff of a beach town.
Yeah. He's in the service of aggregators, but yeah. So Wendy tweeted earlier on SportsCenter, I misspoke when discussing Damian Lillard. I incorrectly said Lillard's camp had been in touch with teams. What I meant to relate was teams are monitoring his situation in case they need to take action. My error. Now, do you think that was something where Lillard contacted Windhorst directly, or did a member of his team do it?
I'm going to guess Nate Jones yelled at him. Or Chris Haynes.
And also, this is a very narrow clarification. Because if teams are monitoring his situation, doesn't mean that they're reaching out to his reps. I mean, it sounds more like Windhorst is like, you weren't supposed to go public with this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because those are... like, his camp being in touch with teams, I think, is tampering. And then his other interpretation of it is not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, I mean, what does monitoring a situation mean except reaching out to his camp?
It's got to be that the teams are calling his agent, right? The teams are calling Nate Jones.
Yeah, or whoever they are legally allowed to contact without it being officially tampering. Now, see... Rob Pelinka knows all you do is keep signing someone with the same agent to a series of increasingly generous contracts, and then you can just call that agent and sneak in your conversation about LeBron James. I mean, a hypothetical. But yeah, I mean, you got to find out who's another Goodwin Sports client you can sign to get the inside track on monitoring the Damian Lillard situation. So, he's afraid of aggregators, and he's right to be afraid of aggregators, because they got him this time. And he's going to be even more vigilant now. And, you know, I mean, it's a lesson for all of us. You could get aggregated at any moment. It could be your friend. It could be a partner. Aggregators are everywhere. And, you know... sometimes you only have yourself to blame if you get aggregated. I don't want to blame the victim, but there are tips you can take to keep yourself from being aggregated, and I urge everyone to do that.
Sean, did anything happen in France this week?
That's true.
I'm really Byron Allen-ing this episode.
I love it.
Giving you non-sequitur setups.
It's a basketball unleashed. Right, is that what it's called? Yeah. Bloggers Unleashed. We should do a show like that. Just have bloggers on and just feed them prompts. We're like, Sean Hyken, you hear about anything proprietary recently? Chris Haynes, what are you hearing from that camp? NBA's one of the NBA's most fashionable men, And James Harden is in France for Fashion Week. He is hanging out with his platonic life partner, Lil Baby.
He was dressed like Under Armour Jesus in these pictures, too.
So, Lil Baby, you may know from earlier in the season when James Harden broke quarantine to go to his birthday party and handed him a brick of cash, which is a lot of cash. I think it's like $50,000 in hundreds, but it's in the shape of a brick. That was his birthday gift. And they got stomped by the racist French police. I'm saying racist French police. I think it's right. Because they smelled marijuana, and it turned out that Lil Baby had an ounce of weed in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So he was detained.
I cannot believe that a country as white as France would have a problem with a couple of African Americans having weed in their car.
I know. For such a progressive place as Europe.
The French have never had any problems with race in their country at all.
Nope. Just a pretty normal colonialist.
Also, I can't believe Lil Baby had an ounce of weed on him.
I'm almost like, I did the conversion when they said it was 32 grams, and I looked, and I'm like, seems a little low. Seems a little low for Lil Baby. You know, maybe that was just for the car and there was more at the hotel or something. But the French police apparently did not recognize them, but they recognized the color of their skin. So they decided, let's harass these guys, including Under Armour Jesus. So James Harden got frisked. And again, that apparently is just a fine in France.
You know what they found when they frisked him? The fact that he was wearing 80 sweatpants or whatever people were claiming when those pictures of him looking a little thick came out, yeah, remember? Yeah.
I have a feeling that James Harden has indulged in some of the things that make visiting France fun.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to say that, I'm speculating, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure it went a certain way.
Sean, are you doing this podcast from a dishwasher? Just started in the background. Anyway, Sean is at a guest house. We can't control the background noise. Sorry about that. What I will say, Sean, is do you want to talk about your favorite man, Niccolò Melli?
Niccolò Melli.
Sean, speaking of Europe, is anyone going back to Italy?
Yeah, we both kind of like Niccolò Melli because
he sucks at basketball, but I kind of think he's funny.
We were kind of into him because he was such an odd signing for the Pelicans at the point they were at. He's a big Italian man who shoots threes, but also ended up kind of being the enforcer of the team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, after 2 years in New Orleans and, basically 6 weeks in Dallas, that was enough. Playing for the Mavs, playing for Mark Cuban for a month and a half was enough for him to decide, I'm done with America entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. If I have to play for this man, the man, there's an Italian phrase, I can't really pronounce it, but it means the man whose skin must not move.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he referred to Mark Cuban as. Usually that's like a character from folklore who's lied to a witch or something.
Uh-huh,
but
yeah, yeah.
I think he was just referring to the plastic surgery. I'm not sure.
I do expect him, though, in Italy to yell at his coach, who's in charge here, you or Dario Argento?
It's true. I mean, That guy is a multi-talent. He's a multi-hyphenate, I think, that guy, Argento. Also, another player abandoning America. I think he did this because Joe Biden won the election, but Matthew Dellavedova is going back to Australia. Andrew Bogut probably convinced him to do that because of he decided that America had gotten woke, so it was going to go broke. And so he is returning to Australia, where he has his own signature shoe.
Mm-hmm. Which is, I believe, is it our friend CJ Toledano who said they looked like ref shoes?
They do look like ref shoes. Like as much as those Curry 2s.
Looked like nurse's shoes.
Yeah, but these are, like, worse. Let me see if I can pull up a picture of this, Joey. Yeah, the signature shoe. Can you believe that Matthew Dellavedova had? They're called Deli Ones.
They should be called the Steve Javy Sport. Ones. The Javy Ones.
yeah, the original is absolutely a ref shoe. It is, mm-hmm. like, almost completely black. it's, like, one that they make you get to, like, use a gym. You know what I mean?
Or, like, to, the gym. It's like what a priest would wear.
Uh-huh.
When they're reffing a CYO game in 1982.
There's a Hustle colorway that's green and yellow. That looks kind of interesting, but they just kind of I kind of only like it because it looks like it's the old Sonics colors.
Anyway, end of the era, an era, Deli leaving America.
Mm-hmm.
And really, he's put his mark on the Hustle whites everywhere, from St. Mary's to the NBA Finals. Almost died. Steph Curry almost murdered him in the NBA Finals, literally.
Yeah, do you remember why that was, Joey?
Because he drinks coffee at halftime.
He drank coffee at halftime, and he had to go to the hospital because of
he was dehydrated.
He would drink, like, a pot of coffee at halftime of a basketball game.
Of an NBA Finals.
I mean, that almost seems like something like a time traveler would do, yeah, Joey.
That's like what Bob Cousy did.
Yeah. But that's because he was like, you know, basketball was like his second job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was just trying to stay awake at the night shift before his real job, operating a driving school. Yeah.
A racist driving school, probably,
I'm
right?
Sure it was.
Wait, wasn't there that story about Bob Cousy reading, like, critical race theory and then calling Bill Russell, like, last year to apologize?
He mailed him the
Ta-Nehisi Coates book, right?
Between the World and Me, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And was like, thanks, Bill. I never considered
Sorry,
this.
I didn't realize.
When people wouldn't rent you a house, I thought you were kidding. Remember you were like, someone broke into your house and pooped in your bed. And I was like, that must have been an animal or something. But now, 60 years after it mattered, I understand what you're saying. And Bill Russell did not call him back after sending him
Good
that
for
back.
Bill Russell. All right. Sean, you know what time it's time for?
What time is it?
It's time to talk about some trades.
Trades. That's right, we're talking about trades.
/ Capspace URLs, you remember, we talk about Capspace all the time in the program. / Capspace, let them know that you came from us. Limited time only, terms apply.
Protected picks.
You can even create a beautiful website while listening to this podcast. Over 140 million people choose Wix to create their website. Create yours today. That's wix.com/woj, W-O-J, to get 10% off.
Rights to euros that are never coming.
Enter code NBA at checkout for $20 off your first order.
Expiring salaries.
If you missed it, we launched the Recapables Billions podcast on our Recapables feed.
Treating people like their assets and not people.
ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost, L-O-W-E post. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Even robots know that basketball is a business, so players shouldn't have feelings because of business. Trades.
All right, Sean. There's been some leaked Ben Simmons trades, trade mm-hmm. offers.
Now, as opposed to people who think that he's worthless after this playoffs, a lot of teams are still willing to take a shot on this guy. Unlike him in the fourth quarter, they are willing to take a shot. So we've had some rejected offers. Hold on.
I got an offer in my text messages the other day for Ben Simmons. From a Kings fan. Do you want to start there?
Yeah, sure. I didn't know you were so plugged in. Was it Vlade who sent this to you? Because he does not have any authority there anymore.
No, it was a Kings fan, and he said, hold on, sorry, I'm scrolling up. This should tell you where fans think Ben Simmons is, what Simmons' value is right now. Fox, De'Aaron Fox, and two firsts for Ben Simmons and Maxey.
And Maxey.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So they would need to extend Fox.
Yeah, the Kings believe. So the Kings fans, Ben Simmons' value is so low, the Kings believe they have to get a young player to take him on.
Yeah, they
for
need
De'Aaron
Maxey
Fox.
Just in case. okay, so I think Daryl Morey would probably not take that.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. What is a Broadway song that he would react to that with, Sean?
Well, it wouldn't be I Can't Say No from Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Maybe like something from No No Nanette.
Yeah,
is there
yeah,
a song
yeah,
called
yeah,
No No Nanette?
Probably,
it would be a no.
Right?
It would be a no, yeah. So then Indiana offered Malcolm Brogdon and a first round pick.
I don't think they're taking that for Ben Simmons, Sean.
No.
I think Daryl Morey would reply to that by singing "Sit Down, You're Rockin' the Boat" from
Guys
and Dolls.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Sung by Harry the Horse.
Okay.
Cleveland offered Colin Sexton, Kevin Love, and some collection of picks. I don't know how many picks.
Wait. That is the weirdest trade offer I've ever heard. Because what would, like, say Kevin Love is still Kevin Love, right? It's like a Blake Griffin situation.
Right.
And he's good enough. Where would the Sixers even play Kevin Love? Are they playing Tobias at the four again? Is it like Al Horford all over again?
No. Well, the problem is they've been playing Tobias at the three, basically.
I mean, at the three. Sorry.
I mean, I guess he's like the white Mike Scott now. Is that what they're thinking of him as? What if Kevin Love had to get an emoji tattoo to complete that deal? Yeah. The Sixers had minimal interest in that.
I would say what song do you think what song do you think Daryl Morey would start singing when he replied to that trade message?
I think he would sing, hold on. Oh, from Bye Bye Birdie, he would sing the song "You Gotta Be Sincere."
Yeah. I was gonna say G Officer Krupke, but from West Side Story, but sure.
Yeah. And apparently the Minnesota Timberwolves at the NBA Combine made some offers in person. However, they were quick to say that D'Angelo Russell is untouchable in such a deal.
Oh boy.
So I just don't understand how they're going to trade for Ben Simmons if Karl Anthony Towns is untouchable and Russell's untouchable. They apparently have a core four.
I don't know who the
fourth one is, Joey.
The fourth one? Well, it's Edwards, Towns.
Russell. Who's the other? Oh, maybe Malik Beasley is part of the core
four.
Yeah,
it's probably Malik Beasley, right? Or Culver?
I don't know.
All I'm going to say is I think Daryl Morey's response to that one was the ladies paying from Sunset Boulevard.
Now, allegedly,
but
I don't.
Gerson Roses responded by singing "The Greatest Star of All" from Sunset Boulevard about D'Angelo Russell.
Yes. Okay, that's very good. So allegedly, Daryl Morey is not going to make a deal until he knows for sure that he can't trade Ben Simmons for Damian Lillard.
I mean, I think that's fair, right?
That's what I would be doing too.
Right. The thing about the Ben Simmons situation is there's no actual urgency to trade him. And while I think he will get traded, it's not like there's like a contract approaching or anything.
His value is at the lowest it's ever been. He literally made an all NBA team last year.
Well, I mean, Daryl Morey is any of these trades that don't have an all-star coming back to Philadelphia are just like non-starters. Mm-hmm. And none of these have an all-star coming back. Mm-hmm.
Unless you count Andrew Wiggins as an all-star. Which I would if he's part of the FIBA qualifying tournament all-star team, right?
He almost dragged Canada into the Olympics
single-handedly.
A Reggie Miller-esque flurry at the end of the game, and then the dream ended because of Tomas Satoransky banking in a shot. Daryl Morey, come on Round Ball, and we will only ask you about the musical theater portions of this segment. We will not ask about Hong Kong.
I am singing to you I Want to Live in America about coming on Round Ball
the podcast. The only thing we will ask that might get you in trouble is we might ask if there's a monthly charge for meals at the Rockets facility, just as there is for the employee discount at the Bubba Gump Trip Company.
Look, Daryl Morey, the main thing I want to ask you is I want to create a stat called Wins Above Patinkin. And it's about which Broadway stars there have season high peaks as big as Mandy Patinkin. All right, Sean, there's one more story I want to talk to you about. I think we're getting there, right? We're probably kind of long now. Sean, the biggest story of all, the most important story in the going on in the NBA right now is, of course, the ratings for game one of the NBA Finals are down 35% from 2019. Do you have a response to that?
I mean, it's who cares?
Yeah, fuck you, dude. Nobody gives a shit. These finals have been great. These playoffs have been awesome. I don't want to hear about it. Like, it's not that big of a surprise to me that a finals that had Stephen Curry in it are doing better than one about Devin Booker, and you shouldn't care as a fan either.
Also, it's the finals started at the end of 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
That's weird. Like, people are on vacation in July. Like, that's what's happening right now. Like, Tuesday night in July, it's not really, like, prime TV time.
But, yeah, the TV ratings don't matter even really to the league or the networks, and they shouldn't matter to you, the fan.
Yeah, you already have to be a pretend GM. Don't be a pretend marketing manager.
Yeah, you are not part of the Nielsen family, so who gives a shit?
I do think, though, that it was a little controversial for the Suns to put that writing on the court. Obviously, I'm talking about it saying the Valley at half court. They really alienated fans in high altitude areas. And I would like to say this to the Phoenix Suns: stick to sports, not geography.
I think that's our episode, Sean.
Yeah, that's the episode.
Do you have a song? Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah. So, I'm still at the Sacramento Punchline on the 9th and 10th of July, but next week you can see me at the San Francisco Punchline Tuesday through Saturday, Wednesday through Saturday. That's with Chris Garcia, the Punchline in beautiful downtown San Francisco, where it will be probably 50 degrees colder than it is outside my shows this week, 50 miles away. So that should be fun. With Chris Garcia headlining. Should be a fun show.
Chris Garcia, the only comedian thus far who's asked me to speak at their wedding. So
yeah, get on it, other comedians.
And listeners of this podcast. T2 did invite us to his wedding very early, and we were unable to make it.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, T2, we haven't heard from you in a while. Give us a call. You're one of you're one of our wildest. You're our biggest wild card as a listener, I would say.
I think that's true. if you guys don't remember, he was the one that asked us should he dunk on his boss in an employee, an elementary school only pickup basketball game. And he did dunk on the principal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, he did. As for me, you can always follow me at Frankie Muniz, where I wasn't on Twitter for like a full month, and now I've come back with some bangers. On July 3rd, I tweeted, "Any suggestions on how to empty a garbage-filled trailer? Police located mine 2 months after it was stolen, all beat up and spray-painted, and it's filled with 10,000 pounds of garbage. At 1-800-GOT-JUNK just came and told me they won't do it. Now what?"
I have so many questions, but I will also say we will keep you completely anonymous if you are the person that stole Frankie Muniz's trailer.
Trailer, yeah.
Filled it with
10,000
tons of trash. 5 tons of trash. Call the line. It's in the episode description. We will keep you completely anonymous. You can also contact me on Whisper, I believe, and use the secure tip line for Roundball Rock. We want to know more about this. Was it random? Was it targeted? Mm-hmm. Was this one of Frankie's enemies? I just want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we will keep you completely anonymous.
Sean, did you write a song?
I did.
Oh, great.
I collaborated with my friend Kat Marshall, a.k.a. Kat Power.
Sean Marshall.
Oh, Sean Marshall.
Sean and Sean.
Sean. Oh, yeah, you do say it, Sean's.
Yeah.
Like Sean Figgins.
Yeah.
C-H-O-N-E of the Anaheim Angels fame. This is part of my project to outdo Sufjan Stevens with a song about every NBA team. And this is about the Cleveland Cavaliers. And this song is called Three Off Love. It's about Kevin Love and that inbounds pass.
Great. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Don't buy a haunted house in New Orleans.
It's haunted by racism.
Let's all go home to our house, our theaterless house in New Orleans.
Raptors gave him a shove, so Kevin freaked. It was a three off love. I wanna trade him. So much, but too past. He slapped the ball and then looked like an ass. I wanna trade him so much. He's got 2 years left on his deal. The Cavaliers got the third pick, but why is Kevin playing in the Olympics? They need a white guy. And he'll do.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.